Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. So this is Missions Month, and we are focusing on missions. And I want to start by reading these words that Paul, of course, directed by the Holy Spirit, wrote to to the church of Ephesus. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, "Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." You can sit down. So it's important here. There's a lot of things that we can learn from this. Verse 19, when he says, for utterance that it would be given to me, that means something said, including the thought. Do we understand how important it is that we pray this prayer? Ask God to give me the right words. That God would give me the right words. Because the thing is, it's important that we understand, we cannot speak the right words if we're so busy speaking the wrong ones all the time. Because if our mouth is already full of our own opinion, of our own thoughts, of our own feelings, of, you know, what we think needs to be, how it needs to be responded to, then we are going to miss the opportunity to speak the right words. And here, Paul, to me, seems like a pretty bold individual already. And yet, notice, he's asking the church at Ephesus, "Pray for me that I would speak boldly as I ought to speak." So I love this, because he said that the words, that utterance would be given to me, that I would speak boldly that as I ought to speak. So it's not even just that we speak good words. It's that we speak right words at the right time. But then not only that, we speak boldly. We speak with God's anointing, with his power, with his authority, the right words at the right time. Something that God's been dealing with me about lately is that Jesus said that we, in the parable that he told about the wedding, he said, "Go into the highways and byways and compel them to come in, that my house might be full." Now, I, by nature, am not a compeller. Like, I like to present it to people, you know, very graciously, and then give people an opportunity to respond. Like, you know, "Well, if you're not too busy, and if, you know, we would like for you to visit our church, or we would like for you to come to Jesus," you know. But that word "compel" is a strong word. And sometimes God wants us to compel people. He wants us to tell people, "Really? What you're doing is more important than your eternal destination? Really? That's your answer?" I mean, and we need to be led by the Spirit if we're going to say that. But there comes a time when, if you will allow the Holy Spirit to rise up in you, that boldness will come out and you can speak as you ought to speak. And that's very important, that we speak as we ought to speak. So as I said, though, the thing is, and I really felt led to speak on the other side of this, because if we're so busy speaking the wrong words, then we won't be able to say what God wants us to say at the right time. And if our mouth is already full of things, of our own thoughts, of our own feelings, of what we feel needs to be said in that moment, then we're going to miss what God wants us to say. We have to often be quiet in order to hear what God wants us to speak. James 3, 1 through 3. It says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body." Now let's drop down. Let's read verse 5 through 10. "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body." Now see, I think sometimes in verse 2, we make a problem by saying, if anyone doesn't stumble in word, he's a perfect man. And then we use that as an excuse. Well, nobody's perfect, so of course I'm going to make mistakes. Of course, I still make mistakes in the words that I say. But our problem is when then we turn what is supposed to be an encouragement to say right words into an excuse to say the wrong ones. And so we need to be careful about that, because the Bible says If we can control the tongue, we can bridle the whole body. Do you know that God is perfectly capable of controlling our tongue if we will submit it to him? Now, it says no man can tame the tongue. I cannot tame my tongue by myself, by trying to do better, by trying to say less, by trying to be nicer. I can't do that on my own. But if I will submit my tongue and my thoughts to God Almighty, he can tame my tongue and he can teach me what to say and when to speak and when to hush. And if I will repent and apologize when I miss it, then he will help me along the way. And so it says a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, a reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our God and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? We have to take the word of God as our manual for life. And we have to read here that it says that blessing and cursing shouldn't come out of the same mouth. So if you've been a Christian a long time and you're still cursing, that's a problem. You need to present your mouth to the Lord because he will clean it up if you will let him. And where you work or how long you've been working there, or all the people that you work around is no excuse because the Holy Spirit lives within us. All of those people and circumstances are external. Do they affect us? Yes. Does it maybe make it harder? Yes. But Lordship happens on the inside. So if we will submit our mouth to the Lord Jesus, he can control our mouth. I know because when Rick got saved, he was a Marine and it was not easy. But I mean, he just didn't cuss, and he'd been saved like less than a year at that time, but he just stopped because he submitted his mouth to the Lord Jesus. The problem is we continue in sins that we make excuses for. And I believe today, and I know this is strong, but some of you today, if you've been making excuses for this sin, you need to stop today. You need to right now today say, God, right now today, I submit my mouth to you because it should not be speaking, cursing, and blessing. And not blessing is not an option for us as Christians. We can't just say, well, I'm just not going to bless because I'd be a hypocrite then. No, that's a lie. Because as Christians, we are called to bless other people. We're called to bless God. So that is part of who we are as Christians. So we have to submit the other part of our mouth to God. We have to say, God, according to your word, this is a problem. So I submit it to you. I repent. I ask you to forgive me. I know that you are able to change me. And so, God, I submit. And then if you fall, you repent. You don't go, well, they just made me so mad, I couldn't help it. That is a lie from the devil. Because if you are a Christian, your life is first and foremost submitted to Almighty God. Is what we say as Christians is that if I am a Christian, it means that Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is the supreme authority in my life. And lordship means that he is Lord over my mouth as well as my actions, as well as everything, the places that I go and everything else. And so we have to submit those things because the devil will let us make excuses. He will compare us. Well, you know, you don't cuss as much as you used to. Well, you don't, you know, say the things that you used to. And that's a good thing. I mean, the truth is, it is a process. And if you commit today and you cuss tomorrow, just repent. God will forgive you. He says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. But listen, cursing is a lot more than just saying a cuss word here and there. You know, gossip is a very dangerous, serious thing. It is a sin that can draw people away from what God is calling them and what God is trying to do in their lives. And so anything that we speak that is not honoring and pleasing to God, we need to submit that to God. Complaining. The Bible says do all things without murmuring and complaining. All of these things involve our mouth. That's why it's so important that we submit our mouth to the Lord Jesus as our lives. Our mouth has to be submitted. And so we have to take the word of God as our manual for life. And if we see things in the word and we go, oh, I'm not doing that, that's the Holy Spirit showing us now. Because it says we will give an account of every idle word we speak. That is the mercy of God telling us now so that we can get it straight. Repent for all the idle words that we've said so that we can handle it before we get to judgment. And I would rather know so that I can get it straight now than find out when I stand before God. All the while patting myself on the back, telling me I was doing better than a lot of other people. That's not how we live. We live by the standard of the word and by Jesus. And when we see that we don't live up to the standard, we say to God, God, I need you to help me change. And we believe that he is fully able to help us change in whatever area it is. So we have to be honest and submit our tongue to the Lord. Psalm 32, verse 8 and 9. This is such an awesome, powerful verse. It's God is speaking here, and he says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. That word guide means to counsel. So if God is guiding us with his eye, that's his perspective. So I put that in a sentence for myself. God, you will guide me with your perspective. You will counsel me with your perspective. That is awesome to understand. But at verse continues, God is saying, do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. So we read about in James 3 that if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. So here, God says, don't be like the horse or the mule. Will you put up my first PowerPoint?
That's our lovely Tony and her horse, Sugar. You got to ask Tony if you want to hear her say it, because she says it better than me. But that's her horse, Sugar.
I asked Tony if I could borrow bit and bridle, and this is a bit and bridle that Tony has for her horses. And she actually rode the horse up to the church on Thursday, which was awesome because I already knew, you know, what I was preaching on. And I started asking her questions, and she was telling me about Sugar, and she said the cool thing about Sugar is that Sugar actually doesn't need a bit, because she said a bit pushes on the inside, the top of their mouth, or it pinches their tongue, either way, to kind of get the horse, because obviously you can see that horse is a whole lot bigger than Tony, you know, but she can control the horse. But she said Sugar doesn't need a bit because she's trained so well. She said, I can just move the rope over and she'll go where she's supposed to go. Listen, Psalm 32 says, don't be like the horse. We should not have to have a bit and bridle where God has to close our mouth. We should be so sensitive and submitted to the Holy Spirit that if he says hush in a whisper, that we hush. But in order to do that, we have to cultivate a relationship with God that is so submitted to him that we say, God, I will not speak unless you tell me to speak. And I will hush when you tell me to hush. Because often we are hindering what God is trying to do in our lives with the words that we speak. And we're hindering what God is trying to do in the lives of other people and in the lives of the church by the things that we're speaking. We need to be speaking life over our family. We need to be speaking life over this church. I heard a message this past week by Dwayne Sheriff about strongholds, and he was saying how we have to make sure that we're speaking life. I believe that it is God's desire for this church to be unified with one goal, to bring honor and glory to Jesus. But in order to do that, we have to submit our will to him, do things his way, and allow him to lead us and get behind what he is trying to accomplish. And that is powerful. And so we need to not be like the horse, even though Sugar's a pretty good horse, but we need to be even more sensitive than that, that God can just speak and that we obey. So, John 12, verse 49 and 50, Jesus said, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. See, Jesus had all of this knowledge. He had studied. In fact, at 12 years old, he was astounding the teachers in the temple because of the questions that he was asking. Because, you know, you can really discern where people are based on the questions that they ask. And Jesus was asking such questions at 12 years old that the people could see the depth of understanding and knowledge that he has. And yet, Jesus didn't go around saying all that he knew all the time. He spoke only what the Father told him to say. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 10, verses 18 through 20, he said, "Because of me, you will be dragged before rulers and kings to tell them and the Gentiles about your faith." I changed this. I think this is the contemporary English version. I'm sorry, Joe. But I'll just read it. "But when someone arrests you, don't worry about what you will say or how you will say it. At that time, you will be given the words to say." This is so cool. "But you will not really be the one speaking. The Spirit from your Father will tell you what to say." Do you know that we can live that way? Just with an ear open all day long. God, what should I say to my spouse right now? Even though I'm irritated at them. God, what should I say to this child in my life that I need wisdom in how to raise them? God, what should I say to this person at work? God, how should I respond in this letter or in this text message and whatever you want me to say? We can develop such a close relationship with God that always our ears are open to hear what he wants to say to us. If we will really seek to listen to God, he will show us what to say. Because Christianity isn't supposed to be a do-it-yourself. Okay, I get my salvation at the altar, and then I go out and prove to God how good I can do it. Like, I prove to God how nice I can be. I'm going to try not to cuss anymore. I'm going to try to, you know, say the right things. It is not a do-it-yourself. We don't take what God has shown us and then go out and show God what a good job we can do without him. We walk out with him and say, "God, I need you so much. I need to know what you want me to say." And that means putting your own wisdom, even when you think you know what to do, putting your own wisdom on the back burner and being willing to stop and listen and say, "God, what do you want me to do?" Because sometimes, even when we think we know what to do, God will tell us different. He has surprised me many times by telling me things to do that to me, I thought I knew what to do, and he'll tell us something different. John 14, 25 through 26 says, "These things I have spoken to you," Jesus was talking to his disciples, "while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, "The grace," this was Paul speaking to the church at Corinth, and he said, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit." Communion means partnership, participation, fellowship. Fellowship means a friendly association, especially with people who share one's interest. We sang this morning, "I am a friend of God." That is not a song just to sing so that we can fill up some time in the worship service. We can have a close friendship with God. And it is true. I mean, really, it can get to the point where you go, "God, I just need to be with you." I didn't understand that for a long time. Honestly, I tried to serve God, and I feel like I had a relationship with God. I was serving him to the best that I knew, and I was growing in my relationship with him, and I was reading the Bible. But sometimes the Lord will take us deeper into relationship with him. And if when we go through things, we will cling to the Lord Jesus, what can happen is he really becomes the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He becomes the one that we run to. "God, I just need your wisdom. I just need your comfort. I need your peace right now. I need to know what you say about me and to me in this situation." And he is there and he is faithful. But that means we have to take time away from doing things the way that we know how to do them. We have to learn to get quiet and still and allow him to speak to us. And if we will do that, we can cultivate. Now, it is a process. When God first, I started first really trying to hear, because I heard a message preached on that scripture, 2 Corinthians 13:14. And I was at that time going, "God, really? So I can really just only speak what you have me to speak?" Because that can seem so far away if you're not used to hearing the voice of God. It can seem just like, you know, I'm just going to try to do my best. I'm going to try to be a good Christian and go to church and give to the church. And, you know, that'll be good enough. There's so much more communion that he wants to have with you. But as I began on this journey with him, it was like I felt like I was going. Like all of the time I was going, God, do you want me to say this? And it was interesting because Janine and I were kind of going through the same thing at times. And we would both go, like there would be these pauses in the conversation because we don't want to say anything that God didn't want us to say. And sometimes we can get so used to giving our opinion before we think or allow the Holy Spirit to speak. You know, Romans 12 says, do not be wise in your own opinion. We can be so proud of our opinion that we feel the need to share it all the time. And the truth is, everybody doesn't need our opinion all the time. I mean, that's just the truth. Sometimes we don't need to give it, even if we want to real bad. You know, John 8, when they brought the woman that was caught in adultery in front of Jesus, and they said, the law says that we should stone her. What do you say? Jesus knew the law. He could have responded right then and shown them how well he knew the law. He could have probably quoted the reference and said, well, the law actually says right here in this book that this is how we should handle it, and shown them how well he knew it. But he didn't do that. It says he just stayed there, writing on the ground. And everybody's probably looking at him like, are you going to answer? Sometimes we have to be still. And we have to be quiet. And we have to wait and say, God, how do you want me to respond to this situation? Because it might be different than what we think. They presented him with the law, which he knew. And sometimes we can be so quick to give our opinion because of what we know. But we have to learn not only to walk by our knowledge, but we have to learn to walk submitted to the Holy Spirit in what we say. Our tongue, our thoughts, submitted to him. And I believe that that's what Jesus was doing. He said he only spoke what the Father told him to say. So I believe that Jesus was waiting. Father, how do you want me to respond to this situation? What would you have? And then notice he didn't quote the law at all. He said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. He didn't go on a long discourse of, you know, the differences and why maybe they shouldn't. He just spoke what the Father. One sentence that is led of the Spirit can have more impact than 25 of our own opinion. But we have to submit our pride and our need to speak and our need to give our own opinion and our need to be right to the Holy Spirit and be willing to hush when he says hush. And imagine how the world could be affected if every Christian spoke when the Holy Spirit told them to speak and were quiet when the Holy Spirit told them to be quiet. Imagine how much less drama there would be in the church. Imagine how much life would be spoke to the world if we will just submit our tongue to God and we will not say things that he is not telling us to say. Because many times we tear down things that God is trying to build with our mouth, with our thoughts, with the way that we respond, because we think we already know the answer. If we will stop and say, God, what are you saying here? What are you wanting to speak and accomplish here? We'll have so much less regrets because God knows what he wants to accomplish. I don't want to say I'm going to end if I'm not. Okay, I want to end with these verses. I actually did my conclusion altar call at the beginning because that's what I felt led to do. So James chapter 3, verses 13, we're going to finish through James or through this part of James. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness. Meekness is humility. That is an amazing word to me because, you know, Numbers says that Moses was the meekest man who ever lived. Moses, who led like a million people, and he was humble. He wasn't like telling everybody what to do all the time. I mean, he was. He spoke when God told him to, but he was meek because he was submitted to God. And whenever people would complain and he didn't know how to respond, he would run back to God and say, God, what do we do here? And God would tell him, throw a tree in the water and it'll make it sweet. So we have to learn how to submit to God. Let him show by good conduct that his words are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. You can say the right words with the wrong heart. Or you can say words that sound good that are not right words. but even if they sound good and they sound right, if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, this is very serious. Do not lie and boast against the truth. Because when I am self-seeking, my goal changes from bringing God glory, from accomplishing his purposes to mine, to bringing myself glory, to showing other people myself, to accomplishing what I want to accomplish. And that's dangerous. So we have to stay. And God is in his mercy, because all of us have done this. I'm just going to admit, God has had to show me. All of us have done this at some point or another. But if we will submit it to God and say, God, forgive me. Let me not seek my own purposes. Let me not say what I think needs to be said. Let me speak only what you would have me to say. It continues, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing is there. Where self-seeking, if we become self-seeking, confusion comes and we open the door wide for the enemy. Ooh, gracious. Right. We open the door. I'm not going to set it up because I might do it wrong and then it'll fall again. So where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Do we realize how serious this is? Envy and self-seeking causes confusion and every evil thing. Do you know that that's how the enemy, one way that the enemy gets into churches? Just through self-seeking, just through my way and my thoughts and what I think and how I need to respond. We open the door for the enemy, all the while lifting our hand to praise God. We need to be very careful, because I believe that God is calling us. I really believe this. God is calling us in this church to be in unity. We talked about this last Sunday night, that when we are unified, the world will know that Jesus came from the Father. So what does that mean if we're not? We have to pursue God and doing things his way and submitting our will to what he has said and the plans that he has set in motion. We have to lay aside our own agendas and our own self-seeking in order to do things his way. And then he can be glorified. It continues, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. I want to read this again, because we need to understand this is what wisdom that comes from above looks like. It is first pure. It is peaceable. It causes peace. It is gentle. It is willing to yield. It is full of mercy and good fruits. It's without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. It's very interesting to me that some of the wisest people are not the first to speak often. If we will learn, wisdom is a powerful thing, and there is so much about speaking truth, but the right things have to be spoken to the right people at the right times in the right way. And that can only come from God, because my wisdom doesn't know how to do that. But if I will submit my heart and my thoughts and my mouth to God Almighty, then he can speak through me and he can accomplish great things in my life, in the people around me, in the church, in the world. And so if we would make sure that the words we speak all the time to everyone were measured and led by the Holy Spirit, then we can live in peace. Even if a situation isn't peaceful, if we speak led by the Holy Spirit, we can learn to be at peace because of the communion that comes from within. Because sometimes we'll speak right words and it will cause problems, because Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. And so even if we speak the right words, sometimes it might not cause peace, because it might make people mad. But if we know, and this is where, if we are submitted to the Holy Spirit and we say to God, God, is this you? And we know that God is speaking and it's his words at his time and his way, then we can be at peace with God, because that comes from the inside. It doesn't come from external circumstances. It comes from him. And so then we can be at peace knowing that the Holy Spirit is leading us. And that is where real peace comes from. And to do that, we have to stop leaning on ourselves. Like Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct our path. So I just want to challenge you. Actually, we're not going to have, Rick and I are going to be up here if you need prayer. But we're not going to have an altar call per se because we did that earlier and God really has already been moving through us. But what we have to do is we have to take this word and we have to let it be true when we walk out of the doors. The next time that we're in a conversation and we feel self-seeking rising up, or we feel defensiveness rising up when someone is giving us correction, or we feel, you know, the need to share our opinion, we need to lay that down and say, God, is this you? Do you want me to say this? Is this what you want me to speak? And if we will submit, and like I said, it's a process. Because for me, I had to go back and forth. Like I had to go back and apologize for things that I realized, oh God, that was not you. That was me. Forgive me. I had to go back. I had to sometimes be quiet when I really wanted to speak, to wait. And it's a process. But if you will begin the process today, I'm telling you, it is the best way to walk. And it has less regrets and less mistake. And you have to, over time, you have to make less apologies eventually because you just learn to hush and not speak until God tells you to speak. But then when you do speak and your words are measured and led by the Spirit, then he can bring truth and life and he can bring his truth into people wherever you are. And that is powerful. So I just challenge you, submit your tongue to the Lord Jesus. We will be glad if you need prayer for healing, if you have never really surrendered your life to the Lord, which I'm just going to go ahead and tell you now, include your mouth. You need to know that ahead of time and be prepared to submit your mouth to the Lord. But if you have never done that, I want to open that door to you and we would be glad to pray with you. The altars will have a song play if you just play a video, Joe. If you need to pray, of course you are welcome to, but I'm going to pray and you will be dismissed. But I just challenge you, let the Holy Spirit continue to work this throughout the week. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word and your truth. We pray that you would help all of us to submit our thoughts, our meditations, God, and our mouth to you, God Almighty, so that you can speak through us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.